Sawbones is a show about medical history, and nothing the hosts say should be taken as medical advice or opinion. It's for fun. Can't you just have fun for an hour and not try to diagnose your mystery boil? We think you've earned it. Just sit back, relax, and enjoy a moment of distraction from that weird growth. You're worth it.
All right. Song is about some books. 1, 2, 1, 2, 3, 4.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Sawbones, a marital tour of misguided medicine. I'm your co-host, Justin McElroy.
And I'm Sydney McElroy.
And we have a very special, what would you say, a very special holiday episode, Sid.
Yeah.
Tis the season.
Yeah, well, a very special holiday episode, but not any of the holidays you might think.
Well, I don't know. As a listener to this podcast, it may be the ones you think.
Yeah, well, were you thinking about a holiday that we made up? Not me. I can't take credit. I didn't help make it up.
Thank you. Yeah, I made it up. My brothers were there, and I made it up.
You made it up?
I feel like I made it up.
Is that canon
history
that you made
lost.
It up? I don't know. I actually
history,
don't know.
Nah, we all came up with it together, I think. But, like, yeah, it's a made-up holiday, but I take all.
While I did not make up Candle Nights, I take no credit for that, certainly. I feel like I've at least played a strong role in developing
Massive.
The lore.
Absolutely.
You know? Like
you've had a handle on the ball since the word go.
I liked the idea
can't
that...
You spell Candle Nights without Sydney Ann. That's what I say.
Yeah, well...
It's the Ann part mainly.
No E, though.
No E.
No E on that Ann. And it's gone. I lost it when I married you.
Cool.
So.
Yeah.
But I mean, I gave it away.
But gained so much.
Put some Merle in there, in the middle.
Yeah.
Added McElroy in the end. Anyway... I feel like I've contributed a lot of the extra stuff, the stuffing around
candle
the candle
stuffing,
nights.
The full roll.
That we've put in the candle nights
sure.
turkey. I have contributed that.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
I like that I can just make anything up and it becomes part of candle nights now and you have to deal with it.
That's the thrill of it. Yeah, I feel that kind of power every day, Sid. It is really, being a religious figure is intoxicating. I agree.
And candle nights is coming up.
True.
Very soon.
The goose is coming. No, sorry. The goose
nope.
is getting fat.
Well,
the goose is not coming.
I mean, the goose might also be coming.
Maybe there will not
goose,
be any goose.
Maybe the goose is on its way here, getting fatter on the way.
En route, the goose is getting fatter. No, candle nights. Well, this is the thing about candle nights. It may already be here because canonically, candle nights can begin at any time and you don't know when it's going to happen. And if you say it's happening, it's happening.
Well, but it's going to happen on the 6th.
Because
December 6th,
we scheduled a live event
yes.
to celebrate Candle Nights, but Candle Nights itself happens whenever. It's hard to say.
Well, but don't you think that by celebrating it on December 6th, we will manifest it?
It'll be a beautiful celebration of Candle
manifest
Nights.
It.
It's a beautiful, beautiful celebration of Candle Nights. For a lot of those people, Candle Nights is going to come that evening. It will definitely be Candle Nights for a lot of people there.
Candle Nights is a live, can we talk about the live show?
Yes.
Let's talk about the live show.
The live celebration.
We don't need to get deeper into Justin and his brothers made up a holiday. It's called Candle Nights.
Yes.
We don't need to know more
But today
about
we're
that.
Going to talk about the true meaning of Candle Nights.
Yes. Yes. So for this coming celebration of Candle Nights that may or may not be on the day of Candle Nights, we cannot know. This is ineffable.
Right. Just like the Jellicle cats themselves.
we cannot know. But we will be doing our live presentation and all proceeds will go to Harmony House.
Yeah.
So that's why it's a very special holiday to me. Maybe my favorite.
Wow.
Yeah.
Really? Nah,
well,
not Halloween.
Yeah, but on Halloween we don't do anything that raises money for the nonprofit that I care so deeply about.
This is true. That's true.
We used to do the
March of Dimes is out there. That's the problem. UNICEF, they're out there with those little boxes. Remember the little boxes? People come around
yeah.
and collect your change.
Yeah.
I feel like kids don't do that anymore.
I feel like I was sent home with one of those in school more than once.
And I was like, absolutely not. I'm going to be getting candy. Thank you so much. Thank you for your offer, but no, I won't be collecting change for UNICEF.
Were we supposed to do that instead?
We were supposed to do
alongside, like, give me some candy and also a quarter.
So my understanding with the UNICEF or boxes was like they were going to March and Dimes was an Easter thing. My understanding with the little UNICEF boxes, the times it happened to me, was like, hey, these kids are going door to door anyway. They should be going and asking for, like, why can't they also ask for loose change for UNICEF?
Why can't they ask for money?
They're going door to door anyway.
Well, we're already asking for candy. I would be hard pressed if that was still a thing. Maybe that's why they don't do it. I never have change. We never have change.
It's true.
And it's hard because kids go on field trips and they are asked to bring random amounts
$7.
Of cash.
$7.
And it should be cash. And yeah. It is. It's like, it's always something like that. It's not a five. It's not a 10. It's nothing you might
bring
have
$12
on
for our farm field trip. Like, yes. What do you want? $12? I don't want $12.
And don't try to send extra. Don't, if they're like, we need $9 and you're like, all I got is a 10. If you send a 10.
Kids don't want that.
Well, no, they don't want to deal with that at the school. Even if you write, like, listen. Keep the one.
Hey, sorry.
Sorry.
I think our teachers go through enough without having to make change. Physicians sometimes forget that a lot.
Don't even.
My heart is with our teachers.
I've tried to say keep the change.
My heart is with our teachers.
Keep, of course.
Here's what I say to our teachers. Be the change. Do you know what I'm saying? Thank you so much.
Well, they are the change. I don't think they need to. I wouldn't tell them to be the change.
I believe teachers are our future.
But we love teachers here at Sawbones. I think our pro-teacher position is pretty clear.
We've been pretty adamantly pro-teacher. But anywho.
I was an assistant professor for a while.
Oh, my.
That makes it sound like I was stripped of my title. I just went to a different job and I don't.
I went to college for 5 years. My dad was an adjunct professor.
Like, what are we doing? Like, we can all throw out our bona fides, you know?
I've tried for years unsuccessfully to get an honorary doctorate. Like, we all have our bona fides.
Don't give up.
I can't.
Don't give up. Should we talk about Harmony House first?
Yeah, I'd love to.
Okay, and then you can tell everybody about the great show we have planned.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Okay, so Harmony House is a nonprofit here in Huntington, West Virginia that has been around since 1987. Mm-hmm. So as long as Griffin.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's the way I'd remember it.
Exactly. That's how I think everyone in Huntington remembers it.
Yeah, I think so too. Mm-hmm.
At the time, homelessness was not an issue that was on, I think, everyone's minds, as much as I feel like it is today. I feel like the conversation around homelessness is much more present because we have so many more people visibly experiencing homelessness than I think in 1987 they necessarily did in Huntington. But because it was not as visible, there also weren't a lot of resources for people experiencing homelessness. Mm-hmm. You know, if a problem only affects a small number of people, sometimes, unfortunately, it can get ignored or neglected. We see that on Sawbones a lot, talking about various diseases that don't get the kind of attention and research that they need because it just doesn't affect as many people, so you don't get the dollars. So at the time, there weren't a lot of resources in Huntington or any at all for people experiencing homelessness. And so a group of mainly women, including two of our still to this day board members, Betty and Sydney, not me, the original Sydney, the OG Sydney. I'm the new Sydney. No. They staged a camp out on the courthouse steps to call attention to homelessness. And I mean, really cool, by the way.
Yeah.
Very cool. To call attention to this issue and to demand action be taken. And from that very public protest that drew a ton of media attention and a lot of support from the community, Harmony House was formed, the original Cabell Huntington Coalition for the Homeless. If you work in this space, you may be familiar with the concepts of continuums of care, or COCs, which are basically a way that the government eventually came together to fund programs that help with homelessness by saying, hey, if all you different organizations in a community work together, kind of under one governing entity, and pool resources and try to complement each other along the continuum of care as opposed to duplicating resources or duplicating services, if you do that all together, we'll give you federal money to do it. And
the federal government doesn't want to duplicate efforts. They want a one. So the COC is sort of like an organizing body to make sure the funds get distributed properly.
Mm-hmm. So Harmony House was the COC. The Harmony House and the COC were created together. Harmony House now is a member of our COC. We have an independent COC that you know, kind of an umbrella over all of our organizations in the community, places like Branches, the Domestic Violence Shelter, the City Mission, Prestera is a behavioral healthcare organization. So a lot of groups that come together and address homelessness collectively, and tons of other smaller entities that might not receive funding through the COC, but also work on these efforts. So I give you that history to say that, like, Harmony House has been doing this great work in our community since 1987 and has really has seen sort of the nature of homelessness, what leads to people experiencing homelessness, and what is needed to address those barriers to housing and to other quality of life, you know, issues. We have watched it change, and it has changed dramatically.
Mm-hmm. How so?
I would say, well, one, it is important to remember that the leading cause of homelessness is a lack of housing, housing prices, poverty in general. I think it's really important to always stress that. We are in a housing crisis across the nation. It is not just here in Huntington, but certainly we are being hit just as hard as everywhere else. We do not have enough apartments to put people experiencing homelessness in, even after they have a voucher through through HUD where they can pay their rent, even after they have that, like, it's not cash in hand, but you get, so to speak, even after the money's there. We don't have apartments to rent to people. There's no available housing. We don't have enough affordable public housing in this country, period.
Now, what about, Sydney, the romance of the rails? Because a lot of people point to that as one of the causes of homelessness. Is just in our society, things are so bound up. You feel so chained in. And the romance of the rails calls to you and you decide to live your life on the rails. What about that sort of as one of the causes?
Justin, I'm really glad that you brought this up.
Brought what up?
The idea that...
Sorry, if you could use... We try to use proper terminology on Sawbones.
I'm really glad you brought up the concept of the romance of the rails.
Yeah.
Because I think what you're speaking you to... Said it. What you're speaking to is a pervasive myth.
Oh, dang it. Oh, not again.
Well, no, and it's
classic
important.
Justin McElroy whoopsie.
It's important to call attention to this. People do not choose to be homeless. They're, to this day, I have to speak with people outside of this work, some of them well-intentioned, not all of them, who will suggest that, well, we offer all these resources, but you can't make people take them. And a lot of these people just, they want to live outside. They want to live in a tent down on the riverbank. They want to have more of a transient existence and not have, you know, a sort of permanent place to lay their head, that this is a desirable state for the majority of people experiencing homelessness. That is untrue. That is untrue. People do not want to be experiencing homelessness.
I had a guy here doing some work on the house, and he was talking about this week, and he said, this weekend I might go out camping. I haven't decided yet. That's a choice, right? That's somebody who wants to maybe go live outside for a weekend and wants to have that option. But if he chooses to not do that, he definitely is going to be happy he has a home to go to.
Well, and generally speaking, people who are choosing to go camping for a weekend are demonstrably better resourced than somebody who is experiencing homelessness, so that they can bring all the things you need to comfortably survive outside for a weekend. The people I take care of do not readily have access to all those things. They're lucky if they have a tent to begin with, and many of the other things you would take camping, they don't have. So people do not choose to be homeless. There are a lot of barriers that exist, especially if somebody has been experiencing homelessness chronically, to start to kind of reintroduce that person to being housed and what all that entails to, you know, have a place of your own and keep it furnished and clean and, you know, cook meals and pay your bills and all of that, that sometimes there is a process. And there are tons of barriers there that aren't just money and availability of an apartment, right? Mm. There's more to it than that, certainly. But to say that people want to be homeless it's not true. That is a myth. People do not want to be experiencing homelessness.
Think about how hard you have to work to keep on top of, like, your everyday bills. Like, where is your – like, I know right now I could tell you where our kids' birth certificates are. I could tell you where our insurance policies are. I know where our family photos are. I know where the bills that we need to pay are. I know – like – but that – even with all that, I still fall behind. You know, there's still things that, like – I forget or lose. Imagine trying to keep track of all that and like have a life and rebuild an existence when you can't even keep your documents dry. Like it's there's so many factors you don't consider when yes. it just comes to like rebuilding.
That is exactly. I think unless you've experienced it, it can be hard to comprehend how difficult. It's always so much easier if we can prevent someone from losing housing, if we can help with a rent or a utility bill or whatever is necessary, negotiate with a landlord, do something to try to prevent that person from falling into homelessness. That is always so much easier than trying to get somebody housed again once they've lost housing. It's an incredibly difficult process. And things like that are exactly what people take for granted. I think about when I changed my name. After we got married, that's a pretty codified process. I was prepared for it. I read about what I was supposed to do. We were resourced enough to get to the places I needed to get to and to pay the fee I needed to pay, all that stuff. And if you remember, they still sent us to the wrong place twice.
Yeah, it's true.
You know, you have to get this before you can get that. Oh, no, you have to get that before you can get this. I mean, so it's an incredibly complex process. And then if you're starting from scratch, mm-hmm. and if you don't have, it costs $5 to get a birth certificate at the Cabell County Courthouse, at least the most recent I checked. It could be more expensive. I don't know. Inflation.
I don't think anybody's going to check you.
But my point is, if you don't have $5, or if you only have $5, is that what you're going to spend it on? Probably not. Especially if you're hungry. So how in the world can you begin that process? So I think it's really important to highlight that. The situation with homelessness, so again, poverty, housing crisis, lack of availability. These are all the underlying factors that everyone across the country is experiencing to some degree. Well, not everyone, but most people are experiencing to some degree. And that is definitely what leads most people to experiencing homelessness and making it difficult to leave it. However, here in West Virginia and in many parts of Appalachia, I think we have a couple other factors that have contributed to, I always hate using the word epidemic in these contexts, because it's a very stigmatizing thing. When we talk about opioids, that's when it always comes up, the opioid epidemic. And in some ways it was. We had just the right or wrong, as you may look at it, a series of factors that led to the situation we have now, what opioids did to our community. But I think that, I don't know, I always hate to say epidemic.
I think we have...
It can be a dismissive way of just saying, oh, it was an epidemic. It just caught us all off guard.
I think we have an income inequality epidemic. Yes. And until that epidemic is solved, then there's a lot of other systemic things that will not be fixed.
Yes, yes. And I think that needs to underlie everything. Everyone needs to have access to housing, to food, to education, to healthcare, to safety. Until all of those needs are being met for everyone in our society in an equitable fashion, we can't get to addressing these other things that people, I think, want to focus on a lot more when it comes to homelessness. I think people like to reach for these other issues as the real culprit, the real problem, and the things that we can fix because these other issues feel so insurmountable.
Yeah.
And they're not. It's willingness to surmount them. So I want to talk about those other factors that I think are unique in this area and how you all attending Candle Nights and or streaming or contributing or helping out in some way, why it is so important and meaningful to our community. But first, we have to go to the billing department.
Let's go. The medicines that escalate macabre for the mouth. I think staying connected is really one of the best gifts that you can give during this holiday season. And I think Aura Frames is a really good way of doing that. Here's what you do. It's a digital photo frame. You set it up for the intended recipient, or they can set it up themselves, you know, if they're a little bit more tech savvy. But once that's done, you are able to send pictures onto that photo frame from anywhere wirelessly through the Aura app. So imagine this, you set it up for grandma and then you capture a picture of the kids at the zoo. Maybe there's five dolphins. You're like, holy crap, grandma loves dolphins. She's going to love this picture. Well, she could be seeing it just by uploading it directly to her frame. Even if grandma's already got one, what if she needs a second one in the toilet? Or it doesn't have to be in there. It could be anywhere. But imagine that. You get beautiful designs from Aura range from like – I just saw the new Carver mat that I – it's new to me. I got a new Carver mat frame. It's really beautiful. I like all the designs, and I think you will too. Not just for you, though. Maybe it's a gift. But you know what? Grab one for yourself. You're going to be jealous. For a limited time, save on the perfect gift by visiting AuraFrames.com to get $35 off Aura's best-selling Carver Mat Frames, named number one by Wirecutter, by using promo code Sawbones at checkout. That's AuraFrames.com, promo code Sawbones. This deal is exclusive to listeners and frames sell out fast, so order yours now to get it in time for the holidays. Support the show by mentioning us at checkout. Terms and conditions apply. You've probably heard about HelloFresh in the past. It's a huge meal kit in America. I mean, the number one meal kit in America. But this fall, they're serving up even more love. Folks, this isn't the HelloFresh you remember. It's new. HelloFresh has doubled its menu. Now you can choose from 100 options each week, including new seasonal dishes and recipes from around the world. You can also, if you're into veggies, you can eat greener with some new veggie-packed recipes that have two or more veggies per dish. That's, I gotta say, folks, that's ambitious for me. I think a two-veggie meal, I'd be feeling pretty darn good about myself. I really like this new offering from HelloFresh. All these options, you are definitely going to find some stuff that you love. The best way to cook just got better. Go to HelloFresh.com/Sawbones10FM to get 10 free meals plus a free breakfast for life. One per box with active subscription. Free meals applied as discount on first box. New subscribers only, varies by plan. That's HelloFresh.com/Sawbones10FM to get 10 free meals plus free breakfast for life.
Greetings. I am John Hodgman, co-host and co-creator of the Judge John Hodgman podcast, along with Jesse Thorne here on the Maximum Fun Network. And I am here with Max Fun Member of the Month, Keith, who's been a Maximum Fun member since when, Keith?
Oh, at least 3 or 4 years now. I don't recall exactly when I fell prey to the pledge drive, but it got a hold of me and I've yet to relent.
Oh, and we shall not ever let go. Now, you join us telephonically from a different country from ours, which is which?
I moved to Vera, Portugal back in August of this year.
I hear evening birds chirping behind you. What are the names of those birds?
We do have quite a few spoonbills and quite a few flamingos as well.
So what would you say to the birds around you and the people listening who are considering supporting the show?
You know, it's just nice to have a little bit of investment in the things that I love. Knowing that I'm making sure that those podcasts are still being created makes me feel good.
We're so pleased to have you be our Maximum Fun Member of the Month. Thank you very much, Keith, in Portugal. This month's Maximum Fun Member of the Month.
Obrigado.
Become a Max Fun member now at MaximumFun.org/join.
I'm Emily Fleming.
I'm Jordan Morris.
And I'm Matt Lieb.
We are real comedy writers.
Real friends.
And real cheapskates.
On every episode of our podcast, Free With Ads, we ask, why pay for expensive streaming services when you can get free movies from apps with weird names?
Each week, we review the freest movies the internet has to offer. Classics like Pride and Prejudice.
Cult classics like Point Break.
And holy sh**, what did I just watch? Classics like Teen Witch.
Tune in every week as we take a deep dive into the internet's bargain bin.
Every Tuesday on MaximumFun.org or your favorite pod place.
So we have a big picture of homelessness, but let's talk about our area specifically, because I bet our area mirror a lot of towns of our size.
Absolutely. I think the thing that gets a lot of play in the press, and I think if you're familiar with the Trump administration's executive order on homelessness, or if you've read, and I don't know, if you don't work in this space, I can't imagine you've read the new notice of funding opportunity that's come out for COCs, for these groups that address homelessness that we talked about.
Well, said a notice of funding opportunity. Funding and opportunity are two really good things. So I'm pretty excited to hear about it.
I doubt a lot of people were reading these HUD grants at length. But if you were, you know what I'm talking about. A lot of the focus is moving towards how do we address substance use disorder. How do we address mental illness? And then there's always the focus on law and order and partnering with law enforcement and putting criminals behind bars that kind of underlies all of that rhetoric, right? Yeah.
The things people want to do to feel like they're addressing the problem without actually doing anything about it.
Exactly. So in a lot of the language from the executive order and from this new stuff that's coming down from HUD, which has been challenged, by the way, by the California Attorney General, and hopefully that will be a successful challenge, but we'll see, focuses on if you are living outside and we can't just, let's say you need anything other than just to have a home. You know, the issue is pretty straightforward. You lost your job, the rent got raised and you couldn't pay it. Something very like, we just need to give you a little bit of money, get you back into housing, and then you're probably not going to need a lot of support after that. So those people were still fine with housing under these new executive orders. However, if you have other needs that should be met, like treatment for substance use disorder or mental illness, basically they want us to do that first. This completely undermines what we call the housing first philosophy, which is how we have addressed homelessness for a long time. What that means is until we get you somewhere housed and kind of meet those basic needs, if you think of like Maslow's hierarchy of needs, you need somewhere safe. You need to be somewhere where you are not constantly under threat of harm. Until we can meet that need, it's really hard for you to be able to do the work to meet these other more complex needs.
Remember earlier when we were talking about me keeping my documents safe? Imagine like if you get a job, let's say you get a job like cleaning up at a restaurant afterwards. Like you need a uniform. You're going to have a place to store your stuff. Like where did you have your ID and your paperwork that you needed to like get the job in the first place? Like how did you get there on time? You know what I mean? Like it's just like all those things that should be that are so much easier once you just have a base of operations.
And you know how hard it is to navigate the American healthcare system.
Forget about it.
Even if, I mean, and I'm saying generally for everyone, if you have insurance and you have a car and you have a home and you can get an appointment with the kind of provider you need, it still can be months before you can get care. It still can be a pain to be able to pay copays, to be able to pay whatever, maybe the medication you need isn't covered. I mean, there's still so many barriers. Now take all that and you're experiencing homelessness. The shelter that we run in town has one shower and one washer and one dryer. So if we have, and we do many days, have a couple hundred people or more walking through our doors, it is logistically impossible that everybody has access to washing their clothes or taking a shower.
Yeah.
How easy is it to maintain a job if you don't have regular access to those things? How easy is it to get a job if you don't have regular access to those things? How easy is it to get to a doctor's appointment to do the kind of intensive work that it can take to treat something like substance use disorder, where you need to go to multiple appointments, maybe do some, you know, an inpatient treatment program first and then go to counseling sessions? And on top of all that, if you have ever experienced homelessness, if you've ever lived outside, you know that your nervous system is constantly in that fight or flight response. You are always on guard, worried about your things being stolen or being assaulted. And so you can't even get to that point where you can think about that next level of needs because your brain is in survive the next minute, survive the next minute. And that's how we all would be. Every one of us is wired to respond that way to that situation. You or I would be the same if we were experiencing homelessness today. We wouldn't be able to think long-term planning. How can I, you know, get these needs met in 6 months? It would be, how do I keep our family alive until tomorrow?
Right.
So because of these new mandates from HUD, because of these new, because of the Trump administration, the focus is going to be on trying to force people experiencing homelessness into treatment for whatever other issues may be contributing to their current condition. And I mean, in that way, again, let me underline poverty and the housing crisis. These are the issues. But certainly it is hard to go through the process of getting housing and maintaining housing if you're also experiencing substance use disorder or severe mental illness that's untreated.
Right. I feel like the question that underlies a lot is do people have value when they're not making money? And I feel like if you believe that people do have value when they're not making money, then the process of like getting people's life back together makes a lot of sense because you got to start with things that we all need. And you know, you have to decide that even if they don't get to a point where they're generating profits, it's still worth them having a good life. And I feel like that's really the question.
Yes.
Because otherwise it's like people are saying, well, we have to get them into treatment programs. Why? So they can work. Why? So they can generate value.
Well, they intrinsically have value.
Right, exactly. Yeah.
I'm glad you said that, because that is exactly the question that I've asked elected officials and people who run other major organizations in our community I won't name. I've asked this question. Do you believe people have base value even if they are not contributing to your tax base? And I mean, if the answer is no, there's probably not much I can do to convince you to help us out. But I think that most people who listen to our show would agree that the answer is yes.
Yeah. If you're looking at it like, how do I get my investment? When do I get my ROI? You know, when do I get my return on investment? It's like, it's not an investment.
There is an argument to be made for the health of a community.
For sure.
A healthy community is one that does provide for all members, regardless of their inability to, you know, give back to that community monetarily.
Yes, 100%.
That is a healthy community. It makes life better for all of us.
Systemically, there's also a value. And that's what's so frustrating is, I think, one of the big voices that you hear is like, business owners, especially for us downtown, who don't want to, I mean, to put it bluntly, don't want to see homeless people around their businesses. And it's like, you want to move the people, their people, like, let's solve the problem. And then there aren't homeless people. Like, they want to get rid of the homeless people. We'd like to put them in homes.
Yes, I would also like if the people that I take care of didn't have to be out on the sidewalk because they had an apartment to live in. Then
homelessness solved. People have houses. Give them houses.
People experiencing homelessness again also don't want to be out on the sidewalk when it's cold.
Love a house.
Yes, they would love a place to go. I think though that specifically in this area, a lot of the focus turns to opioids. So it is not. I'm not the first person to call attention to this. There are endless movies, documentaries, TV series, books written about the opioid crisis here in Appalachia. Yeah. I think, and again, there's so much more to be said about this, so I'm just giving you sort of like the cliff notes. How did we get here? We had the perfect conditions for something like this to take hold. We are in an area where a lot of people do live in poverty, where they work hard labor jobs that are you're not meant to work for your entire life. They destroy your joints and they hurt your back and sometimes your lungs. And we had a predatory pharmaceutical community that came in and said, we have a solution for your problems. They lied and said that Oxycontin wasn't addictive when it was.
This isn't political, by the way.
No, this is all well known. I mean, this has been litigated. This
like
is,
it's yeah. settled law.
Yes, the many settlements for this. So many movies and dramatizations and documentaries you can watch about this. The result is that a lot of people became addicted to opioids. As the pill mills got shut down and doctors stopped overprescribing and state legislation tightened the way that you can prescribe these medications, the pills left. And what replaced them were things like heroin and fentanyl. And now we're 3 or 4 generations into this. So I think it's really important to understand that in some cases, people that I take care of at Harmony House, because in case I haven't mentioned this before, I have a clinic there at Harmony House where I take care of people's acute medical needs, kind of like a walk-in clinic. And I also help to provide some chronic care for some of their conditions that are going unmanaged. And then just try to, I don't know, destigmatize the whole healthcare process for people experiencing homelessness, people with substance use disorder, people with HIV, people with serious mental illness. They feel so alienated from healthcare. I want to make them feel like they deserve it and make them feel safe with a healthcare provider again. But for a lot of the people I take care of, opioids have been a part of their life since they were little children. Mm. Their first experience with drug use was at 8 or 9, 10 years old. The average, average first injection drug use in this area, age of injection drug use is 12. And so if that has been your experience and you have been exposed to these substances for that long and you've been exposed to everything that comes with that because they are illegal, you've probably been exposed to incarceration. You've been exposed to the loss of a family member or friend from an overdose. You've been exposed to trauma or abuse more than likely. Because of all of that, I am taking care of people who have never really had the opportunity to feel safe, to have their sort of nervous systems brought down from that, you know, sympathetic nervous fight or flight constant response, who have never been able to develop sort of like coping skills or life skills or just like basic how do you manage your own place. They've never had their own place.
Right.
And so that's really where we're starting from. And so these are individuals who need a ton of support and need a ton of help and care from not just myself, but from everyone in this community and need a lot more resources than we have to provide.
And that's what a place like Harmony House does, right? It steps in to provide those resources.
That's exactly our job. So I am just the medical clinic.
Just the medical clinic, yes.
I am. That is the little part that through Valley Health, which is a federally qualified health center in our area, provides the clinic, and then I get to do my care there. But we also, of course, at Harmony House provide access to housing resources. So we will help walk you through the process of doing coordinated entry, doing an intake where we can start to figure out what kind of housing program might be best for you. There are different ones across our COC that we can help connect you with case managers and navigators. Certainly as part of that process, a lot of people do take advantage of our mental health services. We have a counselor at Harmony House. We have a psychologist that comes once a week to Harmony House. We have a psychiatrist that comes every other week to Harmony House. And then myself, I'm a family doctor, and that means we can do anything as long as we've done the CME. We know we can do it. And so we provide a lot of behavioral health care and counseling at Harmony House. We also help a lot of people access substance use disorder treatment if that is what they want. It is never a prerequisite to accessing resources at Harmony House. We do not put that mandate on people when they walk in the door, but it's right there. And we're ready to offer it to every single individual who says, you know what, I want to talk about starting Suboxone. I want to talk about going to an inpatient treatment plan. We offer all of that right on site. And then in addition to all that, I am also able to, as I mentioned, offer care for things like HIV and hepatitis C that a lot of people experiencing homelessness just don't have access to. So I manage a lot of those patients as well. We've cured hepatitis C for multiple clients. We have a lot of patients who have we have long-acting HIV meds and HIV prevention meds that a lot of our patients would like to access so that they can help keep themselves safe. Obviously, we hand out Narcan, Naloxone for overdose prevention. And we have a lot of wonderful staff who have been clients in the past, who have lots of lived experience, who are in chronic recovery at times, and who can help people feel safe and comfortable in taking that next step in their journey. In addition, of course, we have food, we have hygiene supplies, we have clothes that have been donated, so tents when we have them, all those other things, the basic needs that we can meet while helping people access these greater resources.
Excellent. Well, Sydney, there's a really fun way that people can get involved with this effort if they wanted to, and I don't want to lose focus on that.
Yes, let's talk about the fun. I've taken us through the serious part. This is who we are, and this is why I think Harmony House is so important.
And here's how you can do something about it. bit.ly/CandleNights2025. That is the link to get both tickets for this year's live celebration that's on December 6th, 7 p.m. at the beautiful Keith Albee Performing Arts Center. It's going to be newly renovated. It's going to knock your socks off. That's the 7 p.m. But you can also watch the virtual version of that show December 19th at 9 p.m. We will be in the chat watching along. So that's going to be a lot of fun. And ticket is included if you get a live ticket. But anything you can give to either one of those, like you can give additional to that, it is so hugely helpful for all the reasons that Sydney has been outlining here, and so essential. It is, I think, by far Harmony House's biggest fundraiser of the year, and I think it's a really important way that they can offer their services.
Absolutely. We absolutely need as much help as we can get. This has always been true, but especially as we look towards these funding cuts that we anticipated were likely to happen under the Trump administration. And we also see an increase in homelessness in general because of all the other policies of the Trump administration. Mm. Unfortunately, I think a lot of experts have been warning lawmakers that this was going to happen for a long time. And
here we are.
And here we are. And so we need your help.
Yeah. And you're going to get a great show in exchange. We got lots of skits and games and videos and songs and jokes and interactive elements. And it's going to be a hoot and a half, maybe. I think so.
And is it okay if I go ahead and say we are, of course, continuing
our Medicine Called Christmas franchise now in its however however nth year.
I don't even know what year it is. But yes, the story of Tabitha Big City and Chris Evergreen will continue.
Yeah.
This Saturday,
live in a live radio play that Sydney has scripted.
And if you can come to Huntington,
yeah,
there are a lot of other activities.
Scavenger hunt.
There's a scavenger hunt being organized. I believe my mom and Cooper are finishing decorating the Star King tomorrow.
Yes.
And so that will be fun. And a lot of local businesses have reached out to. They want to have special drinks or treats or things that you might enjoy that are McElroy themed.
You can check that out. If you go to that same link underneath the ticket link, you can find where all the local businesses are getting involved. You know, Jolly Pirate, Nomada, The Grill on Third, Jockey Club, Backyard Pizza. A lot of places are doing stuff for Candle Nights. There's also a scavenger hunt for the Star King. I can't believe it.
The first clue is already up. I didn't even know the first clue was already up.
You can get a hot cuppa from Pete and Vicky and not be too far from your final destination. I'll give you a hint. That's about, I'll just say it's about a coffee shop downtown.
Okay.
That's it. Okay. That's the only hint I'll give you.
I will also say, bonus. If you're interested in learning more about Harmony House or if you do want to donate, harmonyhousewv.com is our website. So you can check out if you just want to learn more about what we do and see nice pictures of the wonderful people I get to work with.
That is going to do it for us, folks. That link one more time, last time, bit.ly/CandleNights2025. We want to come back and tell you what a big success this was. Next time we record. So please help us out. That will do it for us for this week. Oh, thanks to the taxpayers for the use of their song Medicines as the intro and outro of our program. And thanks to you for listening. That's going to do it for us. Until next time, my name is Justin McElroy.
I'm Sydney McElroy.
And as always, don't drill a hole in your head.
Maximum Fun,
a worker-owned network
of artist-owned shows,
supported directly by you.